Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Arts. I'm your host, Malvin Mancini. Of course, every Friday we talk to the movers and shakers of the arts community, the people that make things happen for your entertainment, benefit, and mine. And our guest today is here to talk about a play. We love talking about things happening in the theater and with whom we share a building. and there's always something really cool going on. We've got a lot of actors that come out of this program who make it. Which is a difficult thing for musicians and actors to actually make it and make a living at their craft. The play coming up, there's always this one is The Government Inspector, and it's a comedy adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher, and is originally by Nikolai Gogol. And it happens on the main stage here on Big Red February 21st, 23rd, and then February 28th through March the 2nd, and each performance at 7:30 p.m. The director is here with us, a guy that I've worked with before. We'll talk about that maybe later on. But Michael Belinsky is here to tell us all about it. Michael, thanks for coming back, man.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
So you are directing this comedy. Was this something that you decided you wanted to do, or were you assigned to do it?
A little of both. As part of the MFA program, Master of Fine Arts in Theater Direction, each year you put on a project with increasing more production values leading up to your third year practicum project, which is part of the season. And so my third year practicum project is The Government Inspector, which is part of the main stage season with the University of Memphis Theater Department. So I supply them with a list of plays that I'm interested in, and The Government Inspector was on there, and they were looking for a comedy to perhaps complement Medea, which is coming up later in the semester. So we have a comedy in the beginning of the semester and then a tragedy towards the end.
Is this the first performance of this semester?
That is correct. Yes, on the main stage, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a myriad of other smaller projects going on in the building. But yeah, this is the first one on the main stage in the spring.
And what got you interested in The Government Inspector?
Well, it's a farce. It's a farce that satirizes government corruption and the way, which is always timely. I mean, this play was written in 1836 in Russia. And here we are 180 years later in a different country under a different type of government. But the themes are still relevant. I mean, I think that's a universal theme for all time, for all people, that it's part of our makeup. You know, we have virtues and vices. It's part of the human experience, and we can't help but, to a certain extent, perhaps pander to those who have some power that, oh, if we only got a little bit of it, our life would be better.
And the
analogy that I draw is look at what we do to, quote-unquote, reality television stars, how so many people are so into them and follow them. And granted, we might not give them money or bribe them, but we give our time and our attention, which is almost of equal value. And like with the Kardashians, so many people, you know, follow their exploits and their vices and their virtues.
And I wonder, always wonder why.
But there's something like we're fascinated with people who are even a slightly higher station than us in life. And that is a prevalent theme in Russian literature of this period of the early 19th century. And I would say, you know, one of the aspects that's relevant today, where, you know, we are, you know, whether it's the exploits of our presidents, the exploits of sports figures, exploits of entertainment figures, you know, we look up to those people, and we kind of receive some vivaciousness about our life. And so this play satirizes the way that we give of ourselves and maybe even sacrifice some of our moral integrity just to be seen in a favorable light by those above us.
Okay.
But it's a screwball comedy. It's essentially a mistaken identity that the town officials get word that the government inspector has come. And this town is very, very corrupt. It's kind of like any town USA. And talking to my production team and talking to my actors, I say, you know, I recognize my hometown of Waterbury, Connecticut in here. And other production members like, I recognize Germantown. I recognize Memphis.
I recognize South Haven.
South Haven, exactly. So this town might not be the most up and up in terms of morals. And they get word, you know, that the government inspector is going to come. And if, of course, you know, if he finds out that this town is corrupt, then they're going to be punished. There's a fear that they'll be sent to Siberia. Certainly they will lose the station that they have in life. So they go to all crazy extremes to kind of whitewash all the indiscretions, and they try to kiss up to the government inspector, only to find out that he's not the real government inspector. So there's mistaken identity along with the screwball comedy.
Oh, that makes for a great premise right there.
Yeah.
So did you have difficulty getting a cast?
No, I mean, luckily, you know, we have a lot of talent in our undergrad acting program. I had about 100 different people come and audition.
How big is the cast?
The cast is 21.
Okay.
So it's a decent sized cast. Certainly the largest I've worked with here during my time at U of M.
Yeah.
And they're a good group. And
I think about everything Russian is on a huge scale. We had a tattoo here that had to do with Napoleon attacking Moscow. And it was when they first built the pyramid. And they had a whole cavalry of horses, and they had cannon and the whole works, you know, and everything. It was just a huge production, and 1,000 people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I always think when it's something doing with Russia, it's going to be big. So this is big.
Man. It's a fairly large cast. There's a couple of times in which we do have, you know, I don't think we ever have all 21 on stage at the same time. I think there's 19 people on stage at one point at the very end. But that's actually one of the things that I was very excited to work with is a large cast. And how do you work with that compositionally? You know, I mean, I know in music, when you talk about composition, you talk about the band sizes and how big is the percussion session going to be, and what's the, you know, the mixture of horns versus reeds versus a percussion. And it's kind of a similar dynamics here, where it's one thing to have like three characters on stage, and how do you play with that compositionally in terms of spacing? But then to suddenly have 19, and how do you show that? You just don't want it to be just a glob of people. You know, you want to be able to tell the story in terms of how close, what's the proximity from one to another? Which one is on a higher level? Like literally, if it's just like a 7-inch step on stage, you know, little things like that.
It's a matter of perspective, perception that you have to create.
That's right.
As a director. Right. If you're just tuned in, by the way, this is Focus on the Arts. We're talking to Michael Belinsky, who is directing a play that will be here on the campus of the University of Memphis in the main theater, The Government Inspector. And it's 3 days at a time, right? February the 21st,
22nd, 23rd. Mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday, February 28th, March 1st, and March 2nd.
Okay, and all of them at 7:30.
At 7:30 p.m. And there you can get tickets up at the box office. I know they're open, I want to say, 9 to 4 Monday through Thursday and 1 to 4 on Friday.
Yeah, and the tickets are reasonable. And of course, students are $15. $15 for students and seniors, and $20 for the average person.
Actually, students are free. You just have to bring your student ID and you can get a free ticket. But an additional ticket beyond that.
It's 15, And the box office number is 678-2576, 678-2576. We'll give you all that information as we go along again. And again, Michael is director. And as far as, you know, like you said, my thing is music. But doing theater is very similar to it. In casting this film, mm-hmm. this play, which I love plays because they're always different. A film, when you put it on film, it's going to be the same identical thing every time, but every play is different. Casting this, were you looking for certain personalities, or were you thinking about you're going to have to fight off egos or this kind of thing as you're putting it together?
No, you're right. I mean, there's all that goes into the mix. One of my, Bob Hetherington, one of my graduate committee members, he was like, he kind of forewarned me. He's like, you don't want to have a play with all clowns. You need some straight men to balance out the clowns.
Okay.
And then you're right. You want to make sure that the cast gets along. You want to make sure that there is a connection, that there is a cohesion, and that everyone is in support of one another. Because it's very easy to kind of just be enamored I use this forest analogy. It's very easy to be enamored with your tree and my tree. But you have to step back and look at the entire forest and the needs of the entire forest, because we ultimately are making something for the audience. And when the audience comes, they're not just going to be looking at your tree. They're going to be looking at the entire forest. Yeah. So there is a level of humbleness and graciousness that you have to have as, I think, a cast member and a member of the production team.
Right on. So, Mike, what made you come here to do your grad work?
Well, I was looking at a bunch of different schools, and there's kind of a crazy story. I flew into Memphis, and I was at the Alamo Rent-A-Car Center down at the airport, and I was checking my email on my phone, and I got an email from Brooklyn College in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
And informing me that I had been accepted to their graduate program. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to Brooklyn. Yeah. I was like, it was like a weird, like almost out of body experience. And I'm like, whoa, but I'm here in Memphis for my interview and to see the program. I'm like, well, you know, I've never been in Memphis before. I'm going to meet a bunch of new people. I'm going to see a lot of new sights. Let me enjoy myself for a couple days. And slowly but surely, over those 2 days, Memphis made an argument for itself and ultimately showed itself to be the best program for me right now. And it was a combination of things, but one of the largest aspects was I felt that there was a community here within the theater department, which started with Kristen Shoup, who I met when I just called and had a few questions about the program, and Holly Lau and Bob Hetherington and the different graduate students that I met. And I remember there was and little things, like I remember coming out and seeing like a mockingbird and seeing a robin and like little signs and the tofu barbecue at Tracks. I mean, it's just like this interesting, but largely it was this sense of community, and that they were really open to giving you as many opportunities directorially as were feasible. And that was exciting to me.
And for this choice of being a director, you know, that's an ambitious thing for a young man to take. And you are the epitome of why people should keep going. Do you teach classes?
I do teach some intro classes. It's true.
And what do you tell your students? You know, everybody wants to make it. I look at the sports guys, you know, and the kids that play basketball, and everybody thinks they're going to make it to the NBA. Well, out of 10 million people, there's 1,000 of them that get to the NBA. And it's pretty much the same in this business, in music business, and I know in the theater business as well. There's not that many spots. What do you tell somebody to encourage them that they can make a living at being an actor or a director?
The notion of making a living, I think, takes on a larger connotation, because if I were to do a balance sheet, you know, with strictly financial considerations, I have definitely lost more money doing theater than I've made. But spiritually, like the things that, you know, give you excitement and joy in living, theater has paid me exponential sums. Yeah. And that's what I share with my intro students, and what I try to epitomize as a director or a theater practitioner, that when higher education was set up initially, it wasn't just to go out, you know, get a piece of paper so you can get a job. You know, there were twofold reasons. One was certainly to have a more informed electorate, but the second was to be a liberal-minded person, to have a large scope of what is humanity, what is this thing called existence, and to broaden your awareness of that. Mm. And that's what I encourage with my students. And I think to be a good theater practitioner, you have to have an awareness of geography and politics and history and philosophy and music and all these things. And I kind of feel that I get to either directly or vicariously live all of those pursuits through theater. Like I'm, you know, in working on this play, I mean, just some small things that I stumbled upon. I was reading a book on the history of Islam, and I came upon a really interesting fact that related to my work with Government Inspector, that the Tsar is actually a corruption of the word Caesar. And that Petersburg saw itself as the new holder of the Holy Roman Empire. So in the play, there's this section where they are toasting the Tsar, and that the Tsar has this larger... And I'm like, wait a minute, the Tsar is not just the head of this tyrannical government. He's also seen as, like, handpicked by God.
Yeah.
So of course that's going to be... These characters are going to see the Tsar as this larger, larger figure.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting. Geez, I didn't know it was 15 minutes already. Once again, the play is The Government Inspector. It's a wildly funny comedy adopted by Jeffrey Hatcher from the original by Nikolai Gogol. It's on the main stage February 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and February 28th, 29th. It's February 29th, 8th, March 1st, 2nd, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available in the box office here on the campus of the University of Memphis, main theater box office, right here in the theater building, right behind Ramesses. And that's our landmark.
That's right.
Our
that's
new
right.
landmark. And they're very reasonable. The box office is open 1 to 4 p.m. Monday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday, 1 to 4 on Wednesday, 11 to 4 on Thursday, and 9 to 4 on Friday. And the number to call is 901-678-2576. And it's going to be good, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Please come out and see it and have some laughs. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Right on. Michael, thanks, man, for coming by. We're going to have to get you out here again before you go away from us.
Thank you very much.
All right. And this has been Focus on the Arts. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.